16th day of April, and if it is Tuesday afternoon and we're just after 3:20, that means we check in with the MCCSC for their weekly update and providing our update today. Joining us from corporate headquarters, I believe for the first time on our program, and it's Dorothy Irwin. She is the doctor and the assistant superintendent for elementary education. Dr. Irwin, welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks, Mike, for welcoming me today.
Is this the first time you've joined me? I believe it is, isn't it?
This is the very first time, yes.
Excellent. So I just need you to fill out this 100-page questionnaire, and we will get right down. No, we're going to have fun. We're not going to get goofy and do everything like that. But first of all, welcome to the program. I know that you started with the corporation, just a little bit, last June? Is that when you arrived in Bloomington?
That's correct. It was the end of June.
And now that you're here and almost have put a full year in the books, how has everything been going? How's your transition been to the MCCSC?
It's been wonderful. It's very energizing, lots of wonderful things going on in our district, and it's always a pleasure to work with families, students, teachers, staff. It's been a wonderful year so far.
Now, for people who are just getting a chance to meet you, give us a little bit of your background. Where did you get started in education? Your doctorate is very important as well. Tell us a little bit about that and how you got to Bloomington.
Okay. Well, I actually started my teaching career in Washington, D.C. I was a fifth grade teacher and then taught seventh and eighth grade. And as I started to have children and raise a family, our family went to Albany, Georgia, and I lived there for quite a while and raised our kids there and taught school there in Georgia. Was part of that lottery-funded pre-K that Zell Miller did years ago in 1994, and that was an amazing thing to provide pre-K for all four-year-olds in the state of Georgia at no cost. So that's an exciting thing that we're aspiring to here, actually. So then I went from Georgia to Indiana in early 2000. I became a principal in Lawrence Township. I actually worked at IU for a year from 1999 to 2000 and was a principal in Lawrence Township till 2011 and then became an assistant superintendent in Kokomo. And then here I am now.
Here you are now. Well, welcome to town. Welcome to the corporation. And there's a couple things that jumped off your comments there. Early childhood education and the referendum. Boy, you walked right in at a really positive time in our city's development of early learning. How important was that to you? Or did you not, was that part of the reason you came here? How did that all work out?
That actually is part of the reason that I came here. I'm a real advocate for early childhood education and also for equity. And this was an exciting opportunity for me to come to Bloomington and be a part of what's happening here in Monroe County Community Schools.
Now that money starts coming in, we know next August things will get started. What are a couple pieces of advice you could give to our parents or grandparents or aunts and uncles or friends and family who are listening about taking advantage of this this early education that's going to start next year?
Well, I'm a firm believer in early childhood education because it really does help our children get acclimated to realizing that other people can really care for them and nurture them, and they can interact with children their own age. So the social skills are really important as they begin to start their school career. And our program is based on creative curriculum. It's approved by NAACI, the National Association for the Education of Young Children. And it's a play-based curriculum that does reach academics, but in a way that children learn best, and that's through their play. We will be opening our doors in August. We have preschool right now, preschool and pre-K, but we are really expanding our program so that we can include many more children in that opportunity to have a four-year-old experience. In August, when we open, we're looking at having close to 30 classrooms of pre-K in the home schools. Transportation will be provided if the parents choose to opt in on that, and the children will have certified teachers in their classroom, and have a full day of pre-K. And the cost of that, because of the referendum, we're able to offer on a sliding scale up to $4,000 to tuition would be no more than $4,000, and it could be nothing. It would be either nothing up to 225% of poverty level, and from 225 to 335, families would pay $2,000, and then above that 335 threshold would be $4,000.
How does that payment work for folks who are concerned about those dollar amounts?
How does it work?
Is it a one-time payment? Is it a monthly?
No. Yeah, it's a monthly payment.
Gotcha.
It's paid by the month.
Well, and that helps, too. You don't have to have that just right there, ready to go. And scholarship help is available, as you mentioned, as well. So if you have any questions, please call the corporate office or call your home school as well, and they can give you details on how to get closer and get involved with this, because the earlier you start, all of the studies show that it just helps in every facet moving forward. Dr. Dorothy Irvin is our guest. She's the Assistant Superintendent for Elementary Education, and she is with us today. All right, what did we learn from the eclipse? Nobody had school. We had fun. Everything was going on. How did everybody enjoy all that? What's been the feedback from people you have spoken to in the classrooms? What have the elementary kids learned, or did they just have a fun day off?
I think all of our families, I mean, I'm sure that your radio audience certainly will attest to that, too, that it was just an incredible moment for all of us. And to get that feel of when we had the totality here in Bloomington, we were really fortunate to have had that experience. And hopefully everyone wore their protective glasses when they looked through them before they looked up at the sun. You could see nothing, but when you looked up at the sun and the moon, it was just an incredible piece.
And then
there was that period of totality where we could actually take the glasses off, and that was amazing.
That was ridiculous in a great way. That almost felt like Hollywood. So we hope everybody either got together with all their mates and had some fun, or their family and had a chance to enjoy that. Because, well, last Monday was nice. That was a planned day off. We knew that the eclipse was coming for some time, and that was woven into the calendar. But it was back to work this week. I learn in grades 3 through 6. Now, I'm not the biggest fan, as your friends will tell you, of standardized testing. I get it, but I don't like it. How important is that for our 3rd through 6th graders going this week and for the next couple of weeks?
And it actually goes through 8th grade. It's very important because it is a state-mandated test assessment, as we know, and it really can be an indicator to us of how well-prepared students are for the information that they were supposed to have learned throughout the school year. But also, it takes test-taking skills, and I think that's the piece where, you know, we have to be really careful that we don't over-assess our students. And some students who perform really well in school may not do well because of test anxiety, so we try to provide an environment where students don't become anxious and concerned, but the way that we do the timing of the tests and so forth, so that the day can be fun too. Schools have cheers that they do to really encourage students to do better, special snacks. There's all kinds of things that go on in the school to create an environment of, we can do this, we know we're going to get this done, and we know a lot, and we're going to show that on this assessment.
And we don't want them to teach to the test. We know that doesn't help or do anything. But again, you still have to be assessed. We have to see where everybody goes. And how important are these numbers? When do we get them after the 3 weeks of testing that go on, grades 3 through 8? Is that something that you and the administrative office can't wait to get your hands on that data? Or how does that work from your end?
Well, we're always anxious to see the results because we, you know, are very hopeful that they're going to be good and that scores continue to go up as, you know, especially after coming out of COVID, we're starting to see that students are adjusting again to school. I had a teacher at the beginning of the year tell me when we were going in and out of classrooms during open house that it felt like the first year since COVID that it was really a school year this year. And that was exciting to hear. I think everybody was ready to get back doing the work that we know we need to do. And then working with students on these assessments, we, of course, want to see those results as quickly as possible, and they do come back much sooner now than they used to because of technology. It used to be we had to wait for those paper pieces to come back.
Right.
It took all summer, and you might not get the results till the fall. But now we get them earlier, and we're able to look at that data throughout the summer. And it will be embargoed for a while, but we get to look at it before it's released to the public and make sure that it's accurate. I mean, there are ways that, you know, if a student wasn't counted as having taken the test and we knew they did or something like that, something was invalid, we'd be able to look at that and question it.
And again, it doesn't take 19 months to get the information back or whatever it is. So that is helpful as well. Okay, so iLearn grades 3 through 8. I should know that. My daughter's in 8th grade, told me about iLearn last night, and I was reading my son's email from his school, which only goes to 6th grade. So that's how I got
right.
Three.
Well, understandable.
I'm trying. I'm trying really hard. But they're fine. They can handle it. They get, you know, breaks and fun and everything else, like you mentioned, to not make it the big deal end of the world thing that it should be. Okay, what's left? Here we are, the 16th day of April. We've got just over a month of school left. The testing is a big part of it. Then we have graduation and everything else. Is getting August for the pre-K, is that your biggest focus here for the next few months besides these test results when they come in?
During the summer, that is the time that we prepare for the new year for all of our grades and make sure the buildings are in order and we've got the right staff in place. We have professional learning going on for teachers. We've got out-of-state conferences. So summer is a busy time. The buildings may not look as busy, but they are busy in the beginning of the summer with our summer school programs. And so we have several programs that go on throughout the summer. June is the big month for elementary, and those classes are already filled. Teachers make recommendations, and parents, you know, opt in or not. And some of that is based on, for our third graders, students who did not pass the iRead test, they have an opportunity to take it again during the summer. And usually those students do really well. It's a smaller group of students that are being assessed at a time, and teachers are working on those skills through, you know, the 4 weeks that they're in school. And then when they take the assessment, it seems to be much less stress and students tend to do a lot better. We also have adventure camp going on this summer, all summer, and that is open to the public. And the adventure camp is held at Templeton, and there's 3 sessions, 2-week sessions, and students get to go on field trips, and there's all kinds of outdoor play, and it's a camp experience. And that particular program goes through 7th grade.
Who would ever want to grow up with all these great opportunities being a kid?
Yeah,
who would ever?
There's a lot of fun going on during the summer, and the high school has summer classes that are for credit recovery, both Bloomington South and Bloomington North, and there are additional courses that are available, and that enrollment is still available. Students are encouraged to talk to their counselors, or if parents are interested for their students, they can talk to the principals and the counselors in the buildings to get them signed up.
And our corporation always is buoyed by the strength of teachers and making sure we have enough assistants and helpers and everything else. There's a big teacher recruitment fair. I don't want people to get all of a sudden say, oh, well, April's over and I missed all this. There's not. It's coming up on April 25th. It will be at Bloomington High School North. MCCSC is looking for folks to make an impact. What kind of folks are we looking for, Dr. Irwin?
We're looking for teachers that love students. I think that's one of the biggest things, is that they have a passion for working with students and families, and they really want to offer opportunities for them to grow and develop the way that they should. And that's really what we're looking for. When you find passionate teachers, you find quality education. And when we embrace all of our kids and really work to find the right fit, the instructional match for them, it becomes an exciting time for all of us. And so that recruitment fair, it's really nice to see young teachers coming out, and sometimes retired teachers come back to the fold. They realize that they miss having been there. Others come in as Title I teachers to work with small groups of students. So there are lots of opportunities available at all levels.
And that's coming up April 25th at Bloomington High School North. We will remind folks as we get closer and closer to it. That is a week from Thursday. It's not that far away. So if you know anybody in your circle that is thinking about or inquiring, is this for substitutes as well and classroom helpers, or are these full-time positions, Dr. Irwin, that we're looking for?
These are full-time positions that we're looking for right now, but it's always worth inquiring if you're interested in being. We have positions called PLTs, permanent long-term subs, that are actually paid a salary for the year, and they're able to have benefits. And I'm sorry, I had a phone call coming through, so
that's
I think
okay.
I got it off.
I heard you beep. That's okay.
Yeah.
Live radio,
right.
Folks. This is not taped. This is not edited. This is, we're having fun.
Yeah, so I rarely get phone calls in this office. It's usually on my cell phone, but wouldn't you know? So, but I was going to say the PLT position is an interesting one, and you can see those job postings on our website when there are openings. But sometimes people don't want to have a classroom that's, you know, all year that's what they're responsible for, and they would like to be a sub, but they'd like a more permanent position, not just to get a phone call in the morning that, you know, we need someone.
Makes sense.
So, those are jobs to be looking at. And whenever we need paraprofessionals, and that's often, and our preschool right now, pre-K, we are still recruiting pre-K teachers. And for teachers that don't have pre-K endorsement, we actually have a program here that teachers can take classes, and it's paid for through the referendum to give them that certification that they need.
And before we let you go today, and get to all those calls, because I know you're very busy, Dr. Irwin. Tasty Tuesday is today. It's the week of the Young Child 2024. I don't remember seeing this in the past. Can you help me out?
Well, I think we have lots of weeks now, don't we? and so we try to focus on different groups. And the week of the Young Child, I think it's important for us to remember that young children are so impressionable. And it really is one of the things that we talk about with our teachers and also with families when we're talking to families is that the classroom is the third teacher. The environment is the third teacher for our children, and we need to focus on that. So when we're thinking about young people, we want to think of every opportunity we can provide them with to inquire, explore, and discover.
Well, that's fantastic, and you can see more at mccse.edu. You can also see more about the Teacher Fair. You can see the old newsletters that go out each week as well, and all the news is one quick click away. Well, Dr. Irwin, it was a pleasure meeting you. Thank you so much for your insight. I know we'll get together down the road. Have a wonderful rest of your first year, and have a great summer as well until we get caught up next fall.
Well, thanks a lot, Mike. I appreciate the opportunity.